This, I'm telling you, if you'll take some time to go back over the tapes and listen to them, this is going to be the most critical teaching you've ever had since you've been a believer. No doubt about it. It's critical. If you don't understand this teaching, you're going to have a difficult time with the entirety of the Torah, because it's in light of Torah. And you'll see this as we progress and get along. You'll see this thing develop. It'll become real to you. So these are important times. I want to say I'm thankful for all of you that are here tonight. And I appreciate you for coming out. We're going to try to get as far as we can today. If I can get through this tonight, we'll start Galatians 1 in the morning. We'll actually start there, but I'm not sure if we can. If not, we'll do it next time. But we're going to look at this. I believe it's going to be valuable to us. We left off with Acts 15, verse 20. I read it, but we didn't talk about it. Now we're dealing with the council in Jerusalem. They gathered together. Who's at the council? The apostles. James is there. He's Nasi. He's the head bishop. The elders are there. The prophets. The prophets, we'll mention them later on in this, as we go along. And the congregation that was in that area. They knew that the court was in session. They all went. So a lot of people's there. Things are being said that are important. Well, the things that were being dealt with are these four things that James put out. He puts out these four different areas that I think is important for us to take some time to look at and understand these principles. And I tell you, I hope that you've seen by last service how important these things are. And he's dealing with these for a reason that I think sometimes we don't necessarily see it. And I don't know if I made it as clear as I'd like to tonight. I'd like to really make it clear what this really is about. It's not necessarily about a food, although he deals with the food laws. But he's showing severity by using three things dealing with food. And then the fourth, he says fornication, sexual immorality. So what I want you to understand is what we talked about on Sunday is what Paul said. He says, you abstain from the food if it's been sacrificed to an idol. I want to clear this up because I want to be very clear about how important this is. It wasn't the food that it was a clean food could become unclean, but it became unclean. He's telling them that it's now unclean. If they took cow or lamb, and that lamb was sacrificed to an idol, although it was a clean food, it became unclean. Now, then he talks about it's not what goes in a man that defiles a man, but what comes out of a man. So that's a little contradiction there. Because if we're dealing with unclean food now because it's been sacrificed to an idol. But let me tell you the underlying reason of this. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's what we're really dealing with. So when it came to the Galatians, people, the Gentiles, those in Galatia, they were told you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And James says, listen, those who are coming into the faith, they turn. Remember we talked about they're just turning. Don't bother them with this. What they really need to focus on is this. Make sure they don't defile their own bodies. That's what James is saying. Because they need Holy Spirit to help them along the way in order to understand Torah. They don't need us explaining it, even though they explained it every Sabbath. But without, you can explain Torah, but without Holy Spirit, you won't understand it. It's not only the speaker that needs to be anointed. The hearer needs the anointing. That's what happened when in Acts 2. There were the miracles of the speaking and the hearing. And they heard. We need that to happen in the church services. So it's not me just praying and preparing and going before the Lord and saying, God, we want this word, your anointing on this word. You ought to be preparing. Lord, I want to be anointed to hear this word. I want to be anointed to receive this word. Because the receptors that we are, as individuals, we're a host. We're a host body. Everyone in here, you're a host body. You're going to be the host body to some spirit. That could be the spirit of the demon world, the devil. When he said the idol, we know the idol's nothing. And I'm just reviewing a little bit. He said, we know the idol's nothing. But when you eat that with your sacrifice idol, you're eating that with a sacrifice to the demons or the devil. So let's remember this. We know, and Paul knew, and the apostles of old, they knew that the idol was nothing. It's just whatever you carve it out. If you carve it out of stone, it's stone. If you carve it out of wood, it's wood. It ain't nothing. But let's not forget what was behind that idol was demonic. Right? So if you sacrifice to the idol, then you're coming to the altar. What happens at the altar? What takes place at an altar? At the altar is where covenants are made. It's where the contract's drawn up. It's where you sign and he signs. I mean, understand that. So when you eat things sacrificed to an idol, you're getting in a covenant with demonic influences that idol represents. The idol's nothing. But what's behind the idol is very important, and it's very valuable that we see it and clear that we don't take part in that. Hence, some of the things that are behind some of the celebrations. Are y'all getting this? I wasn't even going to talk, because I had this Sunday. But I didn't want to do it because it was me. You don't speak what you because you feel it. You got to see it in the scripture. If it ain't in the scripture, what's the point in it? So I kept this. I kept this and I said, no, Lord, I'm only going to do it when you release that. But that's exactly what it is. It's not so much the emblems as it is the spirit behind the emblems. And when you do that, he said the priest daily, talking about those in the Torah, when they make the sacrifice, they take part in the sacrifice. They take part in it. So when we do the same thing. You say, well, to me it don't mean anything. Well, you taking part in it. That's all. And so what happens, the influence behind that is what you contract with. And it's the trick of the enemy, because folk don't even know they're contracting with it. And years down the road, we still pay the price for that contract. Because it's an agreement. We got to pray that stuff off our lives and say, you know what? Only contract I'm in is with the Most High God. Through Yeshua HaMashiach, that's the contract I want to be in. That's what he was trying to tell the people in Galatia. And so I want you to think. So don't get caught up in, well, what do we eat? What do we don't eat? The point I'm trying to make is not that. But he says, when you do it, you come underneath that influence. And know you not that your body is the temple of Holy Spirit. So you're a host body of something. It's going to be either demonically influenced, or it's going to be from the power of the Most High, which operates by the power of His Spirit. So how many want His Spirit residing in your life? You don't need that contract. Remember we talked about the sign, the seal? That's what it is. So I just wanted you to see that, but at the altar, there's a giving and receiving that takes place. When you see somebody go to an altar, maybe it's a pagan altar, and they bring whatever. Sometimes they bring a flower, they burn incense, we watch them do it. They might bring a bird, a sacrifice bird, or a chicken, or whatever it is, they do. But they'll bring that, and they'll bring food. They'll bring a lot of food. They'll bring food and lay it there. And you go back 3 days later, and the food's rotten. The idol didn't eat any of it. There's a reason. Because the idol's nothing. But the spirit behind that gift now resides in the person that was the giver. You invited it in. And they're glad to have it. I spoke to one gentleman one of our trips, and he said you'd keep doing the sacrifice and all of a sudden the entity would come. And he pointed it to me right there where you stand, and the serpent entity with the feathers on it would come and it would curl up underneath him, and then he would just get in this trance. You're making the agreement there. This is what he's dealing with. The most important thing to tell people who's coming into the faith is you have to make sure that you understand that you are the temple of Holy Spirit. You can't have Holy Spirit and you can't have these demonic influences at the same time. They can't be at the same time. Wow. So you question, so what was going on in our lives? You can have superficial feelings, but not a heart change. How many want a heart change? And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. It's difficult to break those chains once you made the agreement. It takes God to come through for you in order for it to happen. So we left off. We dealt with the food. The three, you can combine them together. But if we sum them up, they're dealing with the fact that you don't want to be inviting that host spirit, because you're a host body. A host body means that you're a temple. What happened when they defiled the temple in Israel's day? What happened to the temple? They destroyed it. You'll destroy your own body, not by what you eat, but what you eat is connected to. So we pray for healing. We can't get healed because of the demonic principality attached to that. So we don't pray for healing first. We pray for God, I want to be free from all those influences. We're going to get, this thing gets, remember because we talked about he's a jealous El. He's not going to share you. That ought to make you happy. That ought to make you proud that he's your father. He won't share you. There ain't a woman in here would take lightly to the fact that she's being shared. That would be terrible, right? Well, God won't share you. We ought to be happy about that. Let's see. So we got to get started, but I just want to review that. Well, let's look at that verse where we left off. Acts 15, verse number 20. But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Those things, again, dealt with the connection of its the influence. But we're going to deal with fornication. The word fornication is the word porneia. The Greek word porneia. Well, we get the English word porno. Now, this is a pretty heavy one here. Because he says you got to abstain from that. Why? Same categories. What happens is this. Sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 19, means this. Sins against his own body. Know you not that you are the temple of Holy Spirit. If there's sexual immorality, you sin against your own body, meaning this. Rather than it being Holy Spirit who gets to have you, you're inviting these other spirits in that are connected into that arena. So remember that. Very important. Sexual immorality is the Greek word porneia. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, flee fornication. Do what? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that committed fornication sins against his own body. Did y'all hear that? Let me read it again because maybe I be getting this. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But we got an exception here. What's the exception? But he that commits fornication or porneia sins against his own body. So there are sins that is without the body. I mean, your body can't be affected by it, but it can affect a lot of things around you, about you, but not in you. But fornication is a direct sin against your own body. Wow. And this is one of the four that he tells them. What we ought to be telling them is not to be circumcised. But watch this right here, because that's exactly the attack where it's going to come from right away. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of Holy Spirit, which is in you? Where's Holy Spirit? In you. Sometimes we don't act like he's in us. We act like it's somewhere close by, maybe a prayer away. You know, I'm praying. I started praying, but I didn't really feel anything. You see, because maybe he's two prayers away and you'll start feeling him. That's not the case. If you got Holy Spirit, he's in you. Remember that. He's in you. Which ye have of Elohim. Where's Holy Spirit of? Elohim. And ye are not your own. Don't we know this? Know you not that your body is temple of Holy Spirit, and we are not our own. Same thing happens when you participate in things that are nothing more than idol worship. We can call them whatever we want, but if the Spirit is not the Spirit of God, then it's the spirit that opposes God, which is demonic. Now, we can paint God all over it. We can put a Christian veneer on it. You can do whatever you want, but God will never be in it. You can't force God into something that he refused to be in. So we could say it's God, but it's not. So what spirit is it if it's not God? Remember, he said, when you sacrifice to something other than that, you sacrifice to demons. That'll make you get to thinking about whatever we do. Right? Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. What's the price? We are bought with a price? Let's never forget that. This Passover coming, let's not forget that we bought with a price. Got to wake you up weeping in the morning. When you think about it, we are bought with a price. It wasn't, we weren't just there and then the Savior came. And it just was a nice story. It cost God. It cost Elohim. It cost him. Bore with the price. Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body. Let me just tell you this. Persons are persons, anybody, man or woman, who's involved in sexual immorality. That means that's from the word porneia. Sins against their own body. Therefore, every time their eviction takes place of Holy Spirit. Because he can't stay there. And you're doing that. Nobody else. So folks will say, well, you know, I still feel the Lord. Really? Is that what you're feeling? Well, I'll get down a little further in here and I'm going to prove to you that's not the Lord you're feeling. We're going to look at it closely. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh's. Is that how you feel about yourself? I know I'm here and he's given me the time with who I am, but I am bought with a price and I'm happy for it. Think about it. And I'm not my own, I'm Yahweh's. I belong to him. So you got to keep these things in mind. Acts 15, verse 21. Now watch why. And this is, I don't cut it short, because I'm going to get on some things here why it's important. Why just four? Was that it? When he says there's only four, was that taking the rest of the rules and regulations and throwing them out the window because now we got four? No. For Moses of old time in every city, them that preached him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Were they reading Torah? Yes. So he says, the most important thing for me to tell those in Galatia who are Gentiles coming out of the pagan system is to abstain from things sacrificed to idols. Abstain from those things. Strangled are those the blood. He knew that that was direct links that the enemy would use in order to make his entry. So you abstain from them and flee fornication, flee sexual immorality, because that's a person who invites that demonic influence directly to their body. And he says, but that's not the end. For Moses of old time had in every city them that preached him. Now when I use Moses here, what am I referencing? It's referencing what some would call the law of Moses. It wasn't Moses' law. It was just the one whom God gave it to. But watch this. He gives them more clarity. Being read, we're going to read Moses? Well, no. It's used as a term, right? Being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So they're going to continue to get it. They're going to be taught the Torah. How many know Torah is important? Listen, every person here, you ought to be so grateful and so thankful that God revealed himself to us by his glorious word, so we're doing and keeping Torah. Very important. Because he said it, that's how you learn. They're going to grow, he said. They're going to understand these things, they're going to come to them. Most important, James says, these things is what they need to look after, because the enemy will come and target them in those areas. The Torah is about intimacy with Elohim. The Torah is the nature and character of Elohim. It's his likes and his dislikes. It's the way he talks to us. It teaches us relationship with him through prayer and reading his word. The Torah is a beautiful facilitator between Elohim and his people. The Torah produces something inside us that is so important, and if we do not have it, we will not make it. We're not going to make it through tribulation without Torah. Not going to. Think about that. Listen, that statement, I milled over these words for a few days and wept over them. And I so badly wanted to read this one slide the day I started. And I couldn't wait to get here. Because I can tell you, this is the life source of you and I. If we don't get taught, we will not understand who he is. We won't know his likes and his dislikes. We won't know it. We're talking about a New Testament church. We're talking about Paul went to Galatia and he says, listen, James says, look, don't worry about it. They're going to get it. I gave them these because these are critical, but they're going to get it because Torah's read every Sabbath day. I thought we'd done away with Torah. You want to talk about doing away with Torah? Bring them down the journey of the book of Acts. If somebody will sit down and listen for just a few minutes, you can take them down this journey. They're going to be standing there staring at you. Well, I never saw that. Well, listen, I didn't see it either, but thanks be to God we see it now. Take them down these journeys. What are they reading Torah for every Sabbath if it was done away with? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He don't need Torah. He's at the right hand of the Father, exalted above every name that's named, far above all principalities, power, and might, and dominion, every name that's named. He don't need Torah, but we need Torah. And I can tell you, he's made a way where we can have it, and this is the path. So people just come up, they read one verse, take Paul out of context, and won't go back and look at these things and say, yeah, that's over with. We're the New Testament church. Okay, explain that to me. What is that? Well, I'm just saved by grace. Well, shall you continue to sin that grace may abound? Give me the answer. I'm waiting. You understand? Nope, we don't want to go down those paths. That's why I can't. This is so valuable. The Torah is about intimacy with Elohim. Think about it. The Torah is the nature and character of Elohim. He explains himself in Torah. It's his likes and dislikes. It's the way he talks to us. It teaches us relationship with him through prayer and reading his word. The Torah is a beautiful facilitator between Elohim and his people. How can we have a better communication with Elohim than Torah? The Torah produces something inside of us that is so important, and if we don't have it, we won't make it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 11. When all Israel has come to appear before Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Think about that. Verse 12, gather the people together, men and women, children, and thy strangers that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Yahweh your Elohim and observe to do all the words of this law. Isn't that powerful? I want to talk about fear of Elohim. Because we're going to continue dealing with this pornea. Fleeing sexual immorality. Because it's sin directly against your own body. He said, he who does it sins against his own body. You're not hurting nobody else. But you're hurting yourself. You will invite sickness and disease and attacks directly to your own body. Now, if you're not doing that and you get sick, you have a direct link to the Lord for healing. But if it came through sexual morality, you got to deal with that personally. You got to reject that, break that contract by repentance, and quit pornea. Quit it. Do you quit it? Prayers will not heal you. Very important. Let me show you how to help you here. Fear of Elohim. Proverbs 16, verse 6, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. The fear of Yahweh. The fear of Yahweh is not to be afraid of him, but it's to have such respect for him that you know that he can destroy you with just one breath of his mouth. And I believe that Yahweh has lost that type of respect from the church world. Yeah. Let's not talk about the pagans, because judgment begins right. Where does judgment begin? In the house of God. Where's the house of God when it comes to us individually? Right here. Know you not that you are the temple? Know you not that you are the temple? Judgment begins in the temple of every individual before it collectively happens in the body. Proverbs 16:6, and I look at it again. But by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. How do we get iniquities purged? By mercy and truth. If God wouldn't have mercy, none of us would make it. And the truth is the only thing that sets you free. Hence the purge comes. Right? And by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. Means we quit doing it. We quit doing it. They used to eat stuff sacrificed to idols, but now that you're saved, you got to quit doing that. I know you didn't think fornication was a big deal, but now that you're saved, you got to quit doing that. Because let me tell you what it affects. It affects your own body. So you sin against your own body. Think about that. And if we do it collectively, if someone's doing it, let me just put it this way. If you're in this congregation and you commit fornication, you're sinning against this body. Not to mention your own. But man, folks get offended if the preacher says something to anybody. Listen, if you ever wondered why I don't snuggle up to everybody, especially those who are committing fornication. Because if I snuggle up to them, it's some type of approval that other folks think that I'm okay with it. I'll never be okay with it. It's not good for me. It's not good for you. It's not good for any of us. And it's like a plague. It'll go through the whole church. But you know what stops that? Fear of the Lord. Fearing Yahweh. Setting him at a spot where you really believe that he's the one who spoke the world into existence. Do you really believe that he can take the dust from the ground and form a man and breathe into the breath of life and man become a living soul? Do you believe that? Well, guess what? That's the one. That's the one that by his spirit, he moves in you when you get saved. Think about that. When you get saved, he moves in you. We got to fear Yahweh. Look at the next verse. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in... How do you perfect holiness? In the fear of Elohim. It's giving him his spot. Well, what does that mean, giving him his spot? That means give him the glory that he deserves. The weight that he deserves. When he walks in the room, everybody wants to humble themselves and give glory to God. How many's ever been in a anywhere, maybe on a vacation or whatever, but there's somebody... One time we was in the airport. I'm just trying to think of times. We was in the airport. And a professional basketball team come off of a plane and they were switching planes. But walked through it was in Atlanta. We was in Atlanta airport. Me sitting in there waiting on our plane. Well, these professional basketball players, I mean, you can tell they were basketball players because all of them were over 6 foot tall. And some of them were 7 foot tall. I mean, just look at these guys, you know, and just they all dressed right. Well, people started, phones were coming out, and they was drawn to it. Might have been their team. I don't know. I don't follow basketball. But anyway, it drew attention. It drew attention. Some of them were over the top. I would call it over the top. You know what? Yeah, they just guys, they play basketball. They ain't sending you no checks. Calm down. But they were in the sports, and so they were drawing. Kids were running, parents were running, and there was a kind of a little commotion going on there for a little while. Right there in the airport. But that was somebody, because they believed, those that was in the commotion believed that whatever they was getting, that was They were drawn to their position. Therefore, the closer you get, it increases your position. Because after, hey, I got a picture with so-and-so. I got the autograph. See, your position just went up. Can you imagine if we got all tickled about Yahweh coming? Because we believe that he has the high, he has a lot of weight. Remember, that's the word kabod, the weightiness of God. Nobody has more weight than him. When he walks in, there's a calm that comes over you. When if there was any type of evil spirit, the evil spirits are gone. And you feel that. You go, wow, it feels so clean in here now. He walked in. I feel better. You start thinking out of way, you're getting your fear of Yahweh right. You got that respect level. So think about it. On a scale of Yahweh, who else is there? If we're trying to scale it, who else is there? Well, if you're going to talk about anybody kind of close to Yahweh, it'll be his only son, in which he exalted him to that position at his own right hand. Listen, don't be giving Christ any less of the recognition. You know what I believe about Christ? I believe he's everything the Bible said he is. We ain't going to make him less of anything the Bible says. If the Bible says he's at the right hand of the Father, you know what I believe? He's at the right hand of the Father. If the Bible says he exalted him above everything else, you know what I believe? There's nothing else exalted above him. The angels have to pay homage to Christ. Shouldn't we? Amen. How many getting this fear of the Lord? Psalms 103, verse number 1. I'm going to go through this fairly quick. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy disease. Do what? Yeah, we ought to give him some praise. Every now and then you got to go read 103. You just got to go do it. You go read it. Let's not forget. He forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Yahweh executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He had made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful. And let me just back up. Who gave what Moses was talking about to him? Yahweh. You think Moses came up with that? Staying in the burning bush? No. He didn't come up with it. He was led to a spot. When he got to that spot, Yahweh spoke to him. And when he got finished speaking to him, that man was changed forever. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Thank God he's slow to anger. Because we'd all be in trouble. We'd all be in a mess if he wasn't slow to anger. Merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous. How many has experienced the plenteous of mercy? He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. Not always. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Oh, you're seeing this? We can't have one side of Yahweh and not the other side. See, that's what the world wants. You tell me about the Yahweh who loves, because I don't want to hear nothing about the Yahweh who will not always chide, but he will come and he'll judge the iniquity. Nobody wants to hear that one. That's why we want to be snatched away in a moment. Because we don't want that part of Yahweh. Well, let me just tell you something. That's the same Yahweh. The one that loves you is the same one. If he wouldn't love you, he wouldn't judge you. A good father disciplines those whom he loves. That's not preaching scripture. If you turn me loose, and some churches today, they would think I'm mad. Not mad from a British man. Maybe so that too. But they think I'm angry. I'm not angry. I'm just trying to tell you, it's time, let's wake up here. This is serious business here. I'm loving this stuff. I'm eat up with it. This is good stuff. He says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Fear him. Isn't that amazing? Does somebody want to get back to giving the respect that Yahweh deserves? I don't want to sin. I don't want to keep sinning. I don't want to have some bad communication at an altar where I'm making contracts with demons. I don't want to commit sin against my own body where I'm dealing in pornea. Listen, we've all been there. But we are not that anymore. Nor can we allow ourselves to go back there. And that's what he's saying. Look, the Gentiles, they were there. They were born and raised in it. But he said, I'm taking you out of that. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removed thy transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so Yahweh pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for a man, his days as the grass and as a flower of the field, so he flourished. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that and his righteousness unto children's children. Man, I tell you what, if 103 can't do it for you, I don't know what will. Verse 18 says this. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, Yahweh hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth all over all. Bless Yahweh, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye Yahweh, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasures. Bless Yahweh, all his workers, in all places of his dominion. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. I'll tell you, it's powerful. So mark 103 down from time to time. You want to go back and read that while you're going through life. You're dealing with it. Listen, you're going to wake up. You know, I don't know, it might be on a Sunday, might be on a Monday or Tuesday, and it's not going to be going so well. Stuff's going to be going. Just put the brakes on, go to 103 and say, okay, let me get this thing straight here. And you'll start figuring out, I can't lose sight of the respect that I have for the Most High. Hebrews 4, verse number 1. Let us therefore fear. Let me see that. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. How do you come short of it? No fear. No fear. We want to make sure that we're understanding it. Amen? Exodus verse chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Elohim has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces. What? Fear not, and his fear. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for Elohim is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. That's how you quit, right there. If you want to know how to quit, you quit like that, when his fear is before you. Means the first thing you think about when you're about to make a decision or do something, the first thing that comes across your mind is, who is Yahweh? And you say, should I do this? No, there ain't no way. Because you respect him that much. Because remember, when you do it, you sin against your own body. Know you not that your body is the temple of Yahweh. Holy Spirit of Yah. Think about that. So we quit. Simple. Well, you know, they didn't tell me. Well, now you know. I'm not really telling you either. I'm just reading the scripture. I'm just telling you this is what it says, because I'm pretty sure you haven't went over all these in this order lately. And God's looking out for us. This is what keeps you motivated. This is what keeps you going. You say, well, that's just me. What you mean, just you? I thought you were sold out, bought with a price. Not just you. Don't give me that. You can't control this. Because if we could control it, we would have never done the things we did. We need somebody to come and control this for us. And the only one that can do that for us is the power of Holy Spirit that's working in us right now, keeping and protecting us until that day. But we got to make it. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That tells me that if you don't endure, then you're not saved. You can't go get saved and then go back and do all the things you was doing and more, and still hit the prayer hands or whatever they are. That's no qualification. You say, well, people believe that? Are you kidding me? It's like a sickness. People are ate up with dumb. Because there's no way you can believe that. No possible way you can believe that. You can be committing pornea and saying, I'm praying for you. Unless the deception is greater than you and I ever thought. Because how is that possible? Who here, right now, I believe everybody, we got people in their right mind. Who here believes that you can be in the middle of pornea and believe that you can pray for somebody and their needs is going to get met? You got to be crazy to think that. And let me tell you why people do it. No fear of Yahweh. He's nothing but a 6-foot-tall person who incarnated himself and come, and we're so happy that he did it, and that's the only respect we're going to give him. We'll get a little cross and put it around our thing and touch it every now and then. We have no idea that we're dealing with the Most High God. Can you read 103? I'm telling you, you weep over that thing. Go on, try it. I dare anybody in here to put it on your next 3 days that you're going to take some time to read 103 and you don't do any. And you tell me if a weeping spell don't come over you because you can't hardly contain it. Once you start feeling the glory of God that comes out of that chapter, it's a powerful passage. When I put it on this slide, I was only going to put a couple of the verses that dealt with fear him because that's what led me to it. This pretty much lays it out, right? And that's all the verses I was going to put. But I read it in this context. Because I don't put a verse unless I read it in this context because I want to make sure I'm not pulling it from something. So I read it in this context and I said, I got to put the whole thing. I got no choice to put the whole thing. I read it again. I had a weeping spell. I said, God, you're so amazing here. Well, I can't wait. I want to talk about that today. And that was 6 parts ago. Because it's amazing. Thank you, Lord. Acts 15:22. Let's continue. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole assembly to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Notice that. Now they're sending these guys, they're prophets. These guys are prophets. They're serious. So they're going back to where? Where it all started. Remember, they were in Antioch. What's this council at? This council's in Jerusalem. Now they've, okay, everything's been said. James said what he said. The verdict's come out. They write it. It's written. It's a law. Remember that? We read it. When you read it in the Torah, he said, when you do that, it's a law. Now you got to go out. Well, now what we're going to teach the apostles to teach the Gentiles. Abstain from things strangled from blood. Remember that. And things sacrificed to idols. And fornication. Porneia. Because those things right there affects the individual. It's got nothing to do with your neighbor. And that's exactly what the enemy's trying to do. See, the trick is to affect the individual. You just got to affect one individual, and something about that one individual, if when they're affected, if the other person close to them is not strong, they will give in to the effect on them. Just ask Adam and Eve. And if you want to, without it being too embarrassing to all of us, just ask each other. We've been there. We've experienced this. It's contagious. It's like a disease. It jumped from one to the other. You can have a person that had no intent. Their intention was not to be on drugs. They didn't have that intention. But they begin to hang out with that. And the moment they hung out with that, before you knew it, it jumped. It transferred. We got to be careful of that. And this is what he's saying. And so now they're sending them back to where it all started. They're bringing some backup with them. And they wrote letters by them. Wrote letters. Put it in writing. After this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, sending greetings unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Now, I want you to see that. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law. I mean, see, I got it crossed through. There's a reason for that. And gave no such, to whom we gave no such command. Now it's crossed through because that's a dish added to the text. And I know it has a lot to do. I spent a lot of time here. I was thought about not even going over it, but I want to cover it just a little bit. Just a little bit. Think about it. Up until the time before the King James Bible, the Latin Vulgate. How many's ever heard of that? The Latin Vulgate. That was the Bible for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. How many know when you got a Bible for 1,000 years, that'll shape people? It will shape you. The Latin Vulgate was the Bible that was used. There was no King James Bible. That came later. In the Latin Vulgate, that phrase was not in the text. Then the new Bibles came along, that phrase was added. To draw emphasis. And so I'm going to make a big deal of it. I just want you to know that that's the stuff you find when you start digging. This is how it is in the NSAB. Since we have heard that some of our numbers to whom we have no instructions have disturbed you with their words, unsettling your souls. So for some time there, we had an assertion. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because I like to ask the question, why? Why do we do that? Why would we add in whole sentences and phrases into the text that was never there? It wasn't there in 1,000 years, and then it's there. And then now, with newer, more modern translations that are coming out, they're realizing, yeah, it's not there. So we have an NSAB will come out, and they won't have it there. And I'm not saying this is detriment to doctrine. It's not about the doctrine. It's about the fact that when people take it upon themselves to do that, it ought to raise our awareness that we need to study more. We really do. We need to study more. So I just wanted to point that out. I'm not going to spend a ton of time there. Acts 15, verse 1, he said, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Does that sound similar? Well, sure it does. So that was because of that, maybe that's what it was put in there for. I don't know, but it was never there to begin with. I'm just letting you see that that's some of the things you'll come across. Romans chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For not the hearers of the law are justified before Elohim, but the doers of the law shall be justified." Not just hearers, but doers. How many know that Paul says this, and then he says other things, and it seems like, well, what are we to do? Well, what does he say? Doers of the law shall be justified. We got to do some things. The million-dollar question. Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? That's a million-dollar question. Well, I'm going to start dealing with some of this later on as we get along. Paul, remember I told you, maybe I didn't tell you. Maybe I need to tell you now. I did tell somebody. Who did I tell? I told someone, anyway, I was mentioning in one of some way I was talking about Paul has a style of writing at our Bible study. He has a style of writing. He has a certain signature of the way he writes. That's why when the Gnostics wrote different epistles, they put Paul's name to these epistles. What they found out by reading all of Paul's writings and reading these epistles, that he was not the author because his DNA, his signature way of talking was not in it. That's how they were found out to be forgeries, insertions. Why would people do that? Well, let me tell you, you think the devil's for you? He wants to bring confusion to you. He don't want you to know anything. Well, Paul has a signature, and he uses this signature, certainly not. Certainly not. So, question again. Do we then make void the law through faith? Anchor. What happens when you go fishing? Brother Chad told me today, he said, "I ain't got no power pole, so I had to use the anchor." And I said, so he said, "I put the anchor out with a little, rope short, and it would stop me. I'd fish a little while, and I'd pick it up, and I'd drill like that, going like, and I'd put it again." And why is that? What is the anchor for? It's to hold you so you don't drift off. So what happens is some things Paul says, you will drift off. So what does he do? He puts the anchor out. That's his signature. I'm going to talk about a lot of these things coming up. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. He puts the anchor out. Don't drift. Yea, we establish the law. The law is established through faith, but we don't make void the law. Yet some will blatantly come out, I'm talking about come out and say, we're not under the law anymore. Preachers. Well, how do you deal with that passage right there? You know why they get so adamant about it? No anchor. And they've been drifting for a long time. Sometime you drift right into pagan celebrations. And ask me how I know. You understand? Let's not kid ourselves. No anchor. Fooling around in the Word, but not really coming to know it. I know I've been there. You fool around in the Word, go find something exciting to talk about for an hour, and then send everybody home and come back and do it next week. But I don't want to fool around no more in the Word. I want to know what it means. Because he's coming back, and I don't want to miss him. I'd hate to be in this thing this long, and then I miss him. Or I'd hate to be seduced through the tribulation and testing and not have the firmness to stand upon. And I can tell you, not being a Torah observer, you're going to be difficult to make it through it. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Just one of those verses. Verse 25, continuing on in the reading. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the sovereign Yeshua Messiah. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Now think about this. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. What necessary things? The four things. This is what you're talking about. How many know we're right back there? Because we're going to bring it to wrap it up. So he says, for it seemed good, notice this, to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Does that mean that the law, the rest of the law is over? Well, no. Remember what he said? We know Moses is going to be read every Sabbath. They're going to get Torah. I mean, thank God we're getting Torah now. Is it an easy thing to change? It's not easy because we sin against our own body, making covenants and contracts at an altar where it didn't give the honor and praise directly to God. We invited God there, but he couldn't come. You can invite God, but he can't. Don't mean he can go. We go. I tell you what, we're just going to put God all over in our Christ. We can't believe they're calling it Xmas now. We offended by that. We trying to, God said, leave me out of this. Leave me out of this. We didn't even know he was screaming loud. Don't put me back in. The pagans know better. Verse 29. That ye abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, porneia, from which, if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the what? Epistle. 1 Galatians. I wasn't joking. When I said if they would have named Galatians 2 Galatians, it would have been a lot easier to understand. They delivered to them what? The epistle. This is not normal stuff to see when you're reading. I can tell you. You got to put the brakes on and you got to say, God, you got to let me see this. I need to know this. 31. Which when they had read... Read what? The epistle. Remember, the verdict was come, it was written down, and they sent them with it. Which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas being, remember I told you they were prophets? I'm sure you said, well, how did you know they were prophets? There you go. And Judas and Silas being prophets, also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So they brought the prophets in. These guys were, put their life on the line daily. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. And verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued to Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of Yahweh. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of Yahweh. We had preached, we're going back again and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And that's just like the way the enemy is. Right in the midst of some of the greatest revealing of God, there's still contention, and it happens where? Amongst the brethren. Think about that. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren to the grace of Elohim. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, and confirming the assembly. You could look at this as the first epistle to the Galatians. That's what we said at the beginning. And Acts 16, verse number 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, and the son of a certain woman, which was a Jew and believed, but his father was a Greek. And this is Timothy. So this is going to be dealing with that. His mother was Jewish, his father was Greek. Again, back to our chart here. So what are they going back to? Back here. So this time, when they go, they're in the blue. First time we did the whole journey was the red, remember? Like this, went over here, like that. They backed out, came back, and then did this. Now they come to Jerusalem down here, went back, and now they're starting this journey. I hope that you see this. They're going back. Been there before, started the churches, now they're going back. Acts 16:4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained by the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. What were they delivering them to them? Staying from things of strangled blood, sacrifice to idols, and porneia, fornication, sexual immoralities. Why? Because he said, I think that's the necessary thing dealing with the group that we're seeing. So now you have just gotten the intro to our study of Galatians. That was the introduction. And now we're going to start in the morning understanding Galatians in light of Torah, Galatians chapter number 1. I'm excited. I tell you what, I'm excited. I pray that we have obeyed the Lord in these deliveries to say everything that He's put on our hearts to say and read the scripture necessary. I appreciate all of you for being here tonight. Thank you for the extra time. We did go over. I was thinking about this all day long. I mean, all day.